Northants and Kolel, she given by Gershon Hepner on Tehillim chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Tes, and the she is taking place on Sunday, 25th of September, 2011, Kaf Rav Elul, Toshin Ayin Aleph. Okay, we're going to tackle, we're going to try and do Pesukim Tes and Yud. So I think we'll do them together. This is David HaMelech talking about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rescued him from various difficult situations. So Pesuk Tes reads, Allah Osham Ba'apo, yeah? Allah Osham Ba'apo, smoke arises in his nostril, or from his nostril, Ve'ish Mepiv Tochel, and fire consumes from his mouth, Gecholim Ba'arim Emenu, coals burning from him, or coals burn from him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends fire, in short. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends fire to rescue David from a difficult situation. Vayet, and then Pasuk Yud, Vayet Shamayim Vayerad, and he, Vayet, he turned, or he bent, that's the better word, he bent the heavens, Vayerad, and he descended. Va'arafel tachas raglov, and darkness beneath his feet. Who bent the heavens? Who descended? And who's got darkness beneath his feet? It's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Isn't Vayet something to fix
something?
Yes, because Vayet or
Vayet
Shichmo
Lispo. Oh, Vayechi. Yeah. Vayet. I think I always thought it meant to turn. Like the Pasuk says about the donkey of Bilam, Vateit ha'osen min haderech, it turned from the way. Vayet shichmo lispol, I think means he turned his shoulder to bear a burden. In English, you know, he put his shoulder to the wheel, he was prepared to, Vayet ha'olo, he pitched his tent. It's to set up a tent, yeah, so maybe it's a different meaning. Yeah, it must be a different, slightly different meaning there, Vayet. But here it means he bent the heaven. He bent the heavens, Vayerad, and he descended, Varafel tachas raglov, and darkness beneath his feet. Okay, so let's have a look. Pasuk test. Allah Osham Ba'apo, smoke arose in his nostril, and most Mefarshim seem to translate that, that although it says Ba'apo, in his nostril, the meaning really is from his nostril, or from his nostrils in the plural, even though Ba'apo happens to be written in the singular. Ve'ish mepiv tochel, and fire consumes from his mouth, gecholim bara mimenu, coals burning from him. So Rashi explains that we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu becoming angry with his enemies, the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rashi in particular defines the enemy from in this pasuk as being Paro, and it's referenced to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Paro, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we have here are human expressions to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. Allah Osham Ba'apo, like a person breathing smoke out of his nostrils. You can imagine the cartoon character breathing smoke out of his nostrils as an expression of anger. So like that's exactly what we have here. Allah Osham Ba'apo. And many Rishonim say, and Rashi says this as well, when a human being becomes angry, he'll breathe more heavily, his nostrils will flare, and these are all expressions and symptoms of anger. So Allah Osham Ba'apo, smoke arose in his nostrils, the ish mepiv tochel, and fire consumed from his mouth, gecholim barim menu, burning coals burning from him. So these are all like getting hot under the collar. That's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu becoming angry with Paro. Rashi learns it, so it's a. I think Rashi says it. Let me just check it. Is it Rashi? Oh, no, I made a mistake. Rashi doesn't speak about Paro. The Targum speaks about Paro. But it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu becoming angry with his enemies.
Now, with David's enemies.
With David's enemies or with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's enemies. Depending, as we said, these Pesukim here, which all speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending a rescue package in times of distress. Is it talking about David's personal rescue package or rescue package for the whole of Klal Yisrael over the times of history, and the Mepharshim take different paths on that. Okay, we can take simple meaning that it's a reference to David's own personal problems and his own personal rescue package. For example, the Targum on our pasuk says it's reference to Paro. A very, very difficult piece of Targum. I think I spent longer on this Targum than I spent on any other Targum. Very hard piece of Targum here. And one of the difficulties I had is knowing where the punctuation is in the Targum. And I'm not entirely sure if I've got it right. But we'll have a go. Selik Zedone de Faro, the willfulness or the premeditated crimes of Paro went out, heich kutra, like smoke. So that's how the Targum translates the first part of the pasuk. Allah Oshan ba'apo, this Oshan is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's smoke, it's the smoke, the smoking gum of Paro's willful, premeditated crimes. Yeah? That's how the Targum knows it. Selik zedone is an expression of bemazed. Selik zedone de Faro, heich kutra, kutra is smoke. Like smoke, the crimes of Paro, the willful crimes of Paro, were visible. The v'chein shelach rugze ke'esha bo'ara demin kodomoi. And as a result of that, Hashem sent forth his anger like burning fire from before him. Mishteitzia mezofise, his anger was completed, in other words, total. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing expressions of 100% anger, total anger, kagumrin, like coals, di nur, burning, dolkom, in memory, burning from his mouth, or fire from his mouth. So that's how the Targum knows that. A very, very hard piece of Targum. Targum says it's Paro's crimes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu becoming angry with him due to his crimes. The Ibn Ezra on this pasuk learns the whole pasuk as being a tefillah of David for the future. But even though it's written in the past that smoke arose from his nostrils, and Gecholim Boaru Mimenu, and the burning coals burnt Boaru is the past tense. Even though those two expressions are in the past tense, you've actually got one expression in the middle, which is in the future. The Ishmapiv Tochel, and fire will consume from his mouth. The Ibn Ezra says the whole pasuk is a tefillah. It's a tefillah from David asking for the future. And the expression in the Ibn Ezra is, Kamu, what it means is, Tishlach Charoncha, you shall send your burning anger. And it's David davening for future assistance, please do send your burning anger out against my enemies. Yeah, the Mesidus Tzion points out that this pasuk uses human expressions to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've got the smoke burning in his nostrils. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any nostrils. He's non-corporeal. He has no guf. The Ishmei Piv Tochel and fire coming out of his mouth. And he says it's all these human expressions for us to understand. We often describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in human terms. Yad Chazaka, Zera Netuya, human terms. There's a great word for it. Anthropomorphism. Oh, a lovely word.
Would David be praying for this against Shaul? Because Shaul was his enemy, and he wouldn't pray for Hashem to be angry with Shaul.
Yeah, probably not. Even though Shaul gets a reference at the beginning of the chapter, he wanted to be saved from Shaul, but he was desperate not to kill Shaul. Yeah. So, presumably against other enemies. This kind of punishment, David, according to the Ibn Ezra, that David is davening for future assistance, is presumably asking Hashem to vent his anger on other enemies, not the likes of Shaul.
He didn't look upon Shaul as an enemy, because his father in law.
It's possible, Shaul is mentioned, he's mentioned at the beginning of the chapter, he's mentioned that he's separated out from the enemies. Remember, we learned about that. Kafkol Oyevov, Umiyad Shaul. The slight difference is Shaul is differentiated from the other enemies of David. But here, because David was so desperate not to harm Shaul in any way, and certainly not to kill him, I think it's a fair assumption that even according to the Ibn Ezra, who says it's a tefillah, and David is asking for future help, Kemo Tishlach Aruncha, you shall send forth your anger, that's how the Ibn Ezra learns, he presumably doesn't want that kind of punishment meted out on Shaul. I think that's a fair assumption. Yeshkach, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. Yeah. And the Mitzvah Tiyanus points out that if a person is angry, if a person is angry, again, it's as though smoke comes out of his nostrils, visibly coming out of his nostrils. Good, I'm sorry. Yeah. Good. Now, the Sefer Zera Yaakov, this lovely Sefer Zera Yaakov, which is written by someone called Rabbi Yaakov Cohen, who is his tamashpacha of Eli Pick, or Eli Pick's wife, I can't remember which one. He's got a whole shot in this pasuk, which I didn't fully understand. But he says that this pasuk is a reference to Churban Beis Hamikdash, and the Churban Beis Hamikdash came about for one particular. Well, we're given reasons in Chazal, but there's a pasuk about it as well. Pasuk gives us the reason for Churban Beis Hamikdash. It's a pasuk. It's in Yirmiyah chapter 10, pasuk Yud, Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Where the pasuk says that why was the land of Eretz Yisrael destroyed at the time of the Churban? Here we are, Yirmiyah chapter 10, pasuk Yud Aleph. Miyamish hechacham v'yavein esos v'ashedibe p'yashem elo v'yagida. Some of the chacham will understand this. Al mo of the ha'aretz. Why was the land lost? And the next pasuk goes on to say, v'yem Hashem, you know why the land of Eretz Yisrael was destroyed? Al ozvames terosi, because they forsake my Torah. Bittul Torah seems to be the primary cause for Churban Beis Hamikdash, and we know that was certainly in the first Beis Hamikdash. Sorry. The Gemara in the first book of Yuma says Churban Beis Rishon is because of the three cardinal sins: Gilui Aroish, Shefichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Thank you. And second Beis Hamikdash because of Sinas Chinam. Yeah. Nevertheless, we have a pasuk here which says that it's Allah also must terasi. There's another very well known piece of Gemara.
You make the bracha before learning Torah.
That's it.
It's sort of like another science.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's a Gemara in Midorim, which Darshan is this pasuk Allah also must terasi. They didn't really forsake the Torah, but it means they didn't make bracha for Torah. They didn't see any value in Torah.
Something special.
Yeah, they saw it as just another academic study. Absolutely. So they make bracha for Torah. At any rate. In the Sefer Zera Yaakov, he points out that the Churban Beis Hamikdash occurred as a result of Bittul Torah, and he points out, and he says that the Churban Beis Hamikdash, he quotes the famous Maamar Chazal, and even though it's famous, I tried to track it down, I couldn't find it. It really eluded me, but I shouldn't have done really, because it's very well known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu vent his anger on the Eitzim and Avonim. By destroying the Beis Hamikdash, wood and stone, the building went down. But that saved Klal Yisrael. And that was all part of the Cheshbon of Moshe Rabbeinu not being allowed into Eretz Yisrael. If Moshe would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, then he would have been the one to build the Beis Hamikdash, and a Beis Hamikdash built by Moshe would never have been destroyed, because of the Kedusha Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore, when it would have come to the time of HaKadosh Baruch Hu venting his anger on Klal Yisrael, he wouldn't have been able to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore he would have taken it out on the people instead, and many, many more lives would have been lost. And therefore, that was all part of the Cheshbon of not allowing Moshe Rabbeinu into Eretz Yisrael. So when it came to Churban Beis Hamikdash, Hashem saved the people and destroyed the building.
That's the two temples.
Yes. But the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, inherent within that act, was an act of chesed for the people, because it saved the lives of many, many people.
Wasn't it that if Moshe Rabbeinu had entered in Eretz Israel, Mashiach would have come immediately, so that there would be no destruction of the people?
I haven't heard that, but it certainly seems to make sense. Yeah, so it would never. So the Beis Hamikdash couldn't have been destroyed, and I think the Sefer Zera Yaakov, and I didn't fully understand his whole pshat in the pasuk, but he understands his pasuk test. Allah Shambalpo is the smoke arising in Hashem's nostrils, and the fire, the Ishmael Pivtochel, destroying the Beis Hamikdash, Gecholim Barim Imenu, coals burning from him, and this is the fire, and the smoke, and the coals that all went to destroying the Beis Hamikdash. He quotes a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, it's on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, let's just find this. The Gemara says,
two, four, six.
it's here we are. Tanya, right at the, near the bottom, six lines up. I'm sorry, no, I've got the wrong Gemara. 1 minute. Oh, where's the other one? Yeah, the Gemara now for the Zod Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, Amar Blevi, Kol HaPosik Mitzvei Torah, anyone who stops learning Torah, he's in the middle of learning, and he stops his learning, Ve'osik B'divrei Sicha, and he engages in idle chatter when he should be learning, Ma'achilim Lo Gachalei Resomim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds him burning coals made out of resomim. What is a resomim? So this is an, it took me a while to research. Resomim is a wood from a plant called broom. I never heard of it. Have you ever heard of a plant called broom? I never heard of it. I asked Debbie, I said, have you ever heard of a plant? Because she knows all about botany. I said, have you ever heard of a plant called broom? And she said, of course, yes, it's got yellow flowers and it's like a little shrub. She knew all about it. I never heard of it. So, I'm really a genius. So now this wood from this broom plant, apparently, once it is carbonized and becomes into coal, gacholim, coal, it has a particular characteristic in that it can retain the heat on the inside for a very, very long period of time indeed. So the coals can look as though they've completely cooled down. You can't see any glow on the outside of the coal, but inside there's this huge fire burning. You just can't see it from the outside. So, and this is, these are called gachalei resomim. These are coals which are boiling hot and will remain boiling hot for a little bit, burning hot and will continue burning for a long, long time. So a person who's engaged in learning Torah stops his learning in order to indulge in chit-chat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him with these gachle resomim, with these burning coals made out from the broom wood. Yeah? So
maybe it could be because he's pretending to be a Talmud Chacham. But really he's not.
He's really chatting.
Yeah. Could be. The same with the coals. They look harmless, but they're not.
Oh, like a nice shot. Yeah, they look harmless because they look coals, but they're not. Yeah, yeah. Oh, very nice. Oh, could be. Very nice shot. Yeah. So he says this is the for the Avera Bittel Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes with burning. And our Pasuk speaks about coals. Gecholim ba'arumimenu. The Pasuk finishes with coals burning from him. And this is why, because the Beis Mikdash was destroyed for Bittel Torah, and Bittel Torah is punished by burning coals, and that's how you get it. Gecholim barim imenu. That's his pshat. It's not. He says a lot more about many other things as always. I didn't fully understand it. The Malbim explains on our pasuk that we're talking about volcanoes. Last week we had earthquakes. Now we're on to volcanoes. Yeah, we're going there. Yeah. Watch out for the tsunami. So now we're on to volcanoes, and in fact he's not the only sefer to describe it like that. It's really pretty straightforward. I mean, Allah Oshan Ba'apo is smoke coming out and fire and burning coals. Volcanoes, they when they erupt, the magma and the lava, it's all burning, burning rocks. That's a gecholim barim imenu, burning rocks. And he says, and the Malbim is all shut on these pesukim. Are how HaKadosh Baruch Hu put David in a difficult situation and saved him with one nace, which cured a problem, created a new problem, which got saved with another nace, which in turn created a new problem, which in turn got solved with another nace. That's how the Malbim, we've mentioned this before, and this is the Malbim's derech in these pesukim here. Now, there's a... Yeah.
He's saying that volcanoes are brought on the earth because of Bittel Torah?
He doesn't connect it to Bittel Torah. It's the Sefer Zeriyaka who speaks about Bittel Torah. And the Malbim says, here we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing David's enemies with volcanoes. Punishing David's enemies with volcanoes, yeah. So I still quoted a Medrash Tanoim, which is a very straightforward Medrash, but what makes it interesting for us in particular is it quotes a passage from this week's Sedra, from Hazinu. Thank you again, Norman, for being so self-sacrificial. The Pasuk says in Hazinu, this exegesis, chapter Lamed Beis, Pasuk Kaf Beis, Ki Esh Kadocha V'Api, because fire burns in my nostrils. Ki Esh Kadocha V'Api. And there again, you can see it's fire burning, and again, it's expression of the nostrils. And as we have, again, it's this anthropomorphism, got it right, of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in human terms of burning nostrils flaring with smoke and fire coming out of the nostrils. And the
V'choraf
Hashem, exactly, yeah. 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 Oh, why he didn't quote that Pasuk, I don't know. Yeah. This Pasuk quotes it from this Medrash quotes it from Hazinu. So then the Medrash Tanoim, which I've got from this red collection of Medrashim given to me by my colleague in school, Rabbi Samisha Greenfeld. So, and the quotation there from that medrash is, Malamid teaches us, Kisha Peronos Yotza Amalifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when punishment comes forth from Hashem, Eino Yotza Elo Ba'af, it comes out through his nostrils. Shemar, and quotes our pasuk, Ola Osham Ba'apo, the smoke comes out of his nostrils. So, that's a medrash which connects him with this week's sedra, which is a bit more exciting for us. Good. Okay. The Yalkut Me'am Loes points out, learns that our Pasuk, with fire and burning coals and smoke, is about the destruction of Sodom, which was destroyed with Gofris Bomelach. Yeah, Gofris Bomelach, fire and brimstone.
So the
Alchemist Moses learns how possible is reference to Sodom. Now, if that is the case, then it ties in beautifully with the next pasuk. Because the next pasuk, Vayet Shamayim, Hashem bent the heavens, Vayerad, and he descended. With fire beneath his feet. Now that goes very nicely, learning according to the Alchemist Moses, that Pasuk Tes is all about Sodom, because there's a Pasuk in Parashas Vayera, it's chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, where the Pasuk says, exactly, yeah, absolutely. So Yud Ches, let me just find this one. We're coming to that. You're absolutely right. We're coming to that. Here it is. Chapter Yud Ches. Yeah, we're coming to that. We'll see that in Pasuk Yud. So, in Bereishis chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Kaf Aleph, where the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will go down and I will see Hakatzah Akosah Haba'o Elias Sukola. He's going to have a close look at Sodom. And shortly after that comes the destruction of Sodom. So, learning like the Yalkut Me'amos learns, that our Pasuk all about the Gecholim and the Eish and the Oshon is all about destruction of Sodom, goes very nicely hand in hand with the next Pasuk, Hashem descended, Vayet Shamayim, Vayerad, and he descended. The Yalkut Me'amos brings another shot, it's a reference to a Malach. Which Malach? We're talking about Malach Michoel. I'll say this over, although I really don't understand this. The Malach Michoel, he calls him the Saritzavo Yisrael, the canton of the host of Klal Yisrael, like the personal malach for Klal Yisrael. Every nation has a malach. If I understood it, this Medrash correctly, he's saying that Michoel is the personal malach for Klal Yisrael.
Is the malach of Gevurah?
That's Gavriel. I think that's Gavriel.
No, Gavriel is
the
Chesed.
Gavriel, the Chesed? Are you sure? Gavriel, Malach for Chesed? I thought Gavriel is the one for Gevura, which is echoed in his name. Yeah.
No,
maybe.
I know one is for
Gevura. Chesed, one is for Gevura. Okay, so I'll leave it open, so I'm not sure which is which. Okay, I'm not sure. He describes it, says, with Michael.
The two main ones, two main Malachim.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. What do I know about Malachim?
No idea. This is fine. Chesed and Gevura coexist in the higher realms.
Yeah.
They can't coexist in the lower realms because they're the two opposites. But they are one.
They're
one and the same. So I think perhaps it's a reference here, but I think we've got it the wrong way around.
Yeah. Okay. But he says that when the Malach Gavriel sees enemies of Klal Yisrael having pot shots at Klal Yisrael and starting trouble for Klal Yisrael, he's the one who gets angry. And our pasuk here, Ola Osham Ba'apu, is a reference to the Malach Michoel. The smoke goes up in his nostrils and the fire comes out of his mouth and Gecholim and coals burning from him. That's the Yalkut Me'amos brings it's a reference to Michoel. Yeah. Oh.
It's like the angel of destruction, you were saying. You think it's from an angel?
Yeah, I think the angel lives there. I think the main Malach of destruction is the Malach Gavriel, but I'm not sure. He says that the Malach, to do this.
I think so.
Same root.
Well, that's the root. Maybe it's Mikhail gets angry because he has this chesed on Israel. Who went down to destroy Sodom?
Sodom, I think it was Raphael went to rescue Lot and Gavriel and one other. Don't know. It's Rashi, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got
Rashi. Sitting outside the tent.
Was it Michal? The three pastors.
Gavriel and Michal? It seems Rashi. It's Rashi in Vayera. I won't find it even if I look for it. So. Okay. Yeah, moving on. Masad Rav Kook, copy on the version on Tehillim, says that this Gecholim Boaru Mimenu of burning coals burning from him, he calls it Kochovim Noflim, falling stars, which I think might mean a comet, but I'm not sure. Not really a comet. A comet is rock that's burning up in space as it approaches the sun, so it begins to melt. And somehow or another, these falling stars, or shooting stars, or comets, whatever it might be, somehow are sent to rescue David in his time of need and to protect Klal Yisrael. Possibly because the enemies of Klal Yisrael will see that as a portentous sign, formidable sign maybe, and will decide on the basis of that not to attack Klal Yisrael. That kind of thing. It could be that kind of thing. Yeah, it could be that. But he doesn't explain. He just defines it. Gacholim Boru Mimenu. It's burning coals because a comet is a burning piece of rock.
It's melting.
The ice melts and the rock melts as it approaches the sun.
It's not burning.
No, it's melting.
It's not burning. The source that he just mentioned of the atmosphere against the rock, but there's nothing burns in it.
It's sort of like a rough description. So he says comet.
He doesn't say comet. He actually says kechavim noflim.
It's not a fire, there's no oxygen, it's just a source of heat.
But when you have a volcano, is that not? I've seen fire.
Fire
comes out of volcanoes.
Once it comes out, hits the atmosphere. It's fire.
It's fire.
The heat ignites.
Yeah.
The gas is coming up. Right. The rock, the lava itself, is not burning. It's rock. It's melting. It's molten hot.
Yeah.
As soon as it hits the air, the fire.
Now Rabbi Avraham ben Ramoch in his Pirush on Tehillim sounds for me that Sefer was somehow found by my son Yaakov Chaim. I haven't noticed how he got hold of it. He learns that the word us here, Ola Osham Va'apo, he says that Af is a reference to the face. And that's something which we've mentioned in the Shir before, that the human face is described with two words. One word is ponim, and the other word is apayim. And they're both plural forms. Ponim is a plural word, and apayim is a plural form, because of the duality of the face, because of the symmetrical shapes on the face.
Two sides. What
does apayim means a face. I can take it simply as a face. Nefilas apayim is another name for tachnun, because we falling on the face. Nefilas apayim. So the word, although it's a singular meaning, face, it takes a plural form, apayim and ponim, both plural forms, because of the duality of the face, animal face and human face, both dual symmetry. Now, I've seen it elsewhere, but here I've seen it in other Sfarim as well, that the reason why the face is called Apayim is because the most prominent part of the face is the af, the nose. The nose sticks out, and it is central, so the word for face comes from the word for the nose, af. Yeah, because it's the most prominent, especially if you're Jewish. Yeah. It's prominent, and it's central. Yeah, so
may not mean slow to anger. It may be the description of the face in a very, very forgiving way.
In a forgiving way.
Yeah, maybe let's learn it to mean that the nose, which is one of the characteristics of anger, nostrils flaring, smoke coming out of the nose, yeah, poetically of course, Erech HaPayim, you're slow to get to use the nose as an object of anger.
Yeah. We always translate it as slow to anger, but I don't think it's 100% correct translation. I think Erech is something to do with Rach, it's soft.
Ah.
Maybe a soft face, forgiving type of look.
That's a very
different.
Erech and Rav.
Yeah.
Erech
and Rav. Nice. Very nice. Yeah.
Forgiving. Doesn't hold a grudge.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Rabbi Ben Mamoch, he says that this Ola Oshan Va'apo, smoke rising up in his face. And he quotes the Targum in Parashas Lech Lecha, chapter Yud Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, when Avram is being spoken to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just before HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes Avram's name from Avram to Avraham. And the Pasuk says, Vayipol Avram al ponov. Avram fell on his face. Frustrated himself by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Targum on that Pasuk, Unafal Avram al apohi. So the word apohi is the Aramaic for ponov. He fell on his face, apohi. So Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach defines it that the af here is not the nose so much as the face. He also points out that the eish mipiv tochel, the fire burns from his mouth, gecholim barim imenu, and burning coals burning from him. So he says, what makes coal? Coal is from carbonite, is carbonized, and if you'll have to correct me, Lewis, I've got my science wrong. I think I've got this right, but I'm not totally sure, that coal is made from burning wood.
Charcoal.
Charcoal, from burning wood, very thoroughly.
And stopped at a certain point, which confused.
Okay.
Partly burnt.
But it's burnt for a long time.
Slowly.
Okay, yeah, slowly.
Coal is not
stones. Basically, wood.
It's turned from charcoal, but stopped at a certain point, so there's still energy left in it.
I see. That burning, a flame, no, a glaze, whatever you call it.
Glowing. But he points out, the Rebbe Avraham ben Ramach says, that you'll get the gecholim, you only obtain coal, if the fire has burnt for a long time. So he says, the eish mipiv tochel means that the fire from HaKadosh Baruch Hu has burnt for so long that the result is gecholim, coals. Baru mimenu. So he says, and it's the fires burning against the enemies of Klal Yisrael.
What actually happens with coals, like coke as well, the wood burns, but in a very small amount of oxygen, so it gets very, very hot, and it tends to charcoal, but it's not actually burning the silver fuel in there. And as we get gases, you get to coal gas coming. But it hasn't actually ignited. So it's brought out and locked in there. This is what actually happened. The absence of oxygen.
In the last minute before I ran out of the house this morning to come to Slichos late, I had a quick look at the Sephorno. I've got a copy of the Sephorno on Tehillim on computer, and he writes there that this Ola Oshan Ba'apo, the smoke arising in his nostrils is a reference, I don't quite understand how it's a reference to this, but it's a reference to the tefillos of the tzaddikim davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Mitzrayim. So the Klal Yisrael Vayitzaku El Hashem, Vayishma Hashem Es Na'akosom, you know, Hashem heard the cries of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. So he seems to go along with the Targum. The Targum learns this pasuk is all about punishment of Paro, and he says that the Allah Hashem Ba'apo is the tefillis of Klal Yisrael rising up, like smoke, I think, rising up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and thereby they then and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the enemy Paro, saving Klal Yisrael. He learns this Allah Hashem Ba'apo is reference to the Sefarno learns it like that. Yeah, good.
Yeah, tefillis going up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now in Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, rather, if you have a look at the pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Here, you should. Here, I've put a few bookmarks in here, so you can actually use this one. Louis, use this one. It's a bit easier. If you have a look at the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis, I was going to see this one. Johnny, do you want to use that one? There's a bookmark there for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, and of course.
Have you got a drink, please? Have you? Look, a little coffee or something. Please. Is that turned off? I saw that leave it.
Rashi there on Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis and its Pasuk test. Allah Oshan Ba'apo Ve'ish Ben Pivtochel Gecholim Barim Emenu. It's actually the identical Pasuk. There's actually no changes. The Neginus is different, but the words are identical. I mentioned to you yesterday, Louis, that I think this is the first pasuk in the chapter where they've been exactly the same. I think it's the very first one with no changes. Sorry, it's over here. Allah Oshan Ba'apu, the Ish Mipiv Tochel, Gecholim Barim Memenu. So you got it there? It's exactly the same. Yeah. I think it's the first one. There may be more. The only one so far, same one here, because you know the two chapters echo each other. The chapter in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, echoes our chapter in Tehillim, but there are lots of these little changes along the way.
Both
Shmuel Beis
also.
Yeah, this chapter in the Shemayim, it's quite David Shira. So, but this is the first one so far. There may be others. The first one so far where there's no changes in the whole pasuk. The neginus are different, but you'd expect that because the neginus of Tehillim are completely different from the neginus in Nevi'im. Completely different. Rashi there in Shmuel Beis explains the pasuk Allah Hashem Ba'apo Ve'esh Mipiv Tochel. What's this fire coming out from Hashem's mouth? Says Rashi, it doesn't mean the fire literally coming out of her mouth. It means coming at the behest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the Hashem's command. That's what it says in Mipiv. Hashem's command makes the fire come out. Is what it means when it says Mipiv. It's the command of Hashem coming out of his mouth, commanding fire to go and destroy enemies of Klal Yisrael. That's how he learns it. And the Mahari Korah there in Shmuel Beis marries these two psukim together, marries both psukim Tes and Yud together. So we're going to be doing Yud later. Allah Oshan Ba'apo, and he learns. That's right. He says this expression of Hashem getting angry when the smoke comes out of Hashem's nostrils, and when the fire comes out of his mouth and consumes, and when the coals and when the coals burn from him, then Vayet Shemayim Vayerat. That is when Hashem descends in order to act for Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will react when he becomes angry with the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Then Vayet Shemayim Vayerat, he'll descend on earth in order to punish Klal Yisrael. In order to punish the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Yeah. Okay. And the Radak learns a pasuk. Oh yeah, the Radak, similar to we had Keish Kodachov Yapi. The Radak takes a pasuk from yesterday, Cedra.
You know, modern warfare, they have aeroplanes, they fire missiles.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the fire from heaven sort of thing. The modern day equivalent.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in any sparring. Yeah. Even in the modern sparring.
Lightning, we
I did see one shot. This speaks about lightning. I can't remember where I saw it. Yeah.
The
more likely. Yeah. The Radak there in Shmuel Beis quotes the pasuk which we had in yesterday's sedjan. It's of him, chapter Nun Aleph pasuk Yotes. Oz Yeshan Af Hashem Mikinoso. Oz Yeshan Af Hashem. Then the fire of Hashem will smoke and burn Mikinoso and his zealous manner. So again, it's an idea of the word Af being related to fire. And it's interesting for us because we just had the surgery yesterday. Yeah, that's how the Radak learns. Good. Okay, let's move on. Let's go on to Pasuk Yud. Oh, Pasuk Yud. Vayet Shamayim Vayerad. He bent the heavens and he descended. Va'arofel Tachas Raglov, and thick darkness Tachas Raglov beneath his feet. So, what is this pasuk talking about? So, Rashi brings two pshatim on the word vayerad. His first pshat on the word vayerad is that it simply means he descended. The normal word for descending would be, or he descended would be vayered. Like vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, Hashem came down on Har Sinai. Vayered is he descended. Our word vayerad, I was wondering about this, and Baruch Hashem, I'm delighted to say I was correct. No, I thought you were going to say pausal. You said I heard the P and I heard the S. Pausal, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. It says nachta, and I saw that, and that's what I suspected. And then I saw that in the Masad Rav Kook Sefer on Tehillim that vayerad is a pausal form of vayered because it's on the esnachta. It's got this on the esnachta. Yeah, exactly. So, and it's interesting because there are two changes between the word vayered and the word vayerad. First of all, you've got the obvious change in the vowel. Vayered has got a segol on the resh, and vayerad has got a patach. But another difference is that in the word vayered, the accent goes on the yud, while here on vayerad, it goes on the resh. That's quite a common thing. When you have a pausal form, very often you'll get vowel changes and also accent changes. So Vayet Shamayim, so learning according to that Pshat in Rashi, the first Pshat in Rashi, Vayered Shamayim, he bent the heavens, Vayerad, and he descended, Vayrafal Tachas Raglav, with darkness beneath his feet. Then Rashi brings the second Pshat. And the second Pshat is, it's not from the Shoresh Yud Resh Dalad to descend, but rather it's from the root Resh Dalad Hey, Vayerad, completely different root, and the root Resh Dalad Hey is to beat down, or to beat into submission, or to flatten something. For example, we have in Bereishis, chapter Aleph, Pasuk Kavvav, V'yirdu v'digas hayom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about human beings. He created human beings, V'yirdu v'digas hayom. They should have dominion over the fish of the sea. So we have power over the fish of the sea, V'yirdu v'digas hayom. So that's the root, Reish Dalet Hei, to have power, or dominion, or to be able to squash something, to flatten something.
It means Hashem comes down from heaven and has an effect.
More than that, yeah. More than that, Vayet Shamayim Vayerad, Hashem bent the heavens, and Rashi says we're talking about punishing Paro in Mitzrayim. Rashi learns it on this Pasuk Yud. It's a reference to the punishment of Paro at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Vayet Shamayim, he bent the heavens, Vayerad, and he flattened Egypt. Or he beat Egypt into submission. So it's a completely different shot on the word Vayerad. That's how Rashi learns it. What's his own...
What's
Vayet Shemayim? What on earth does that mean? He bent the heavens. What on earth does that mean? So the Mitzvah David...
doesn't have to bend heavens and make a slide or something like that.
Exactly. It's a moshel. It's a moshel. Many Mepharshim speak of it as a moshel. And it's a moshel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swooped down on Egypt with immense speed, and he bent the heavens down as though he brought himself down into Egypt by bending the heavens downwards, and thereby was able to come with great speed. I think in the Masad Rav Kook he says it's like a gesher, like a bridge between heaven and earth in order to get down to Mitzrayim. It's a poetical form, it's an expression of mehiras, of speed. Like a slide. I like that. Like a slide.
Again, it's the same term as we were giving giving of the Torah.
Oh, exactly.
To bend the heavens. Why bending heavens? It's a way of Hashem coming down to earth, because it physically, there's no physicality. Hashem can become physical if he wants to, but Hashem is above that. So a way of coming down to earth is metaphysical.
It emphasizes the connection between heaven and earth.
Yeah.
The heavens, you're mentioning the word heavens, and you're coming to earth. There's a connection here between heaven and earth.
Yes,
I'm saying.
Yeah. You can't talk, it's a metaphysical term.
Yes.
It's not a physical, because Hashem is above everything. So he manifests himself in the ways and forms that we can understand.
Yeah.
So we get bending. But it applies to both of these things.
And what you said is exactly right, and it's brought in the Midrashim. We're going to learn the connection between this pasuk and Matan Torah. We're going to learn it. There is a very strong connection. Yeah. Moving on with the punishment of Paro, it goes very nicely with the word for Arofel. Arofel, because Arofel is darkness, and it's a reference to the Choshech. Arofel tachas raglov, darkness underneath his feet. Oh, I didn't know that. Arofel is fog. Is that what the word for fog in Ivrit?
Isn't that the
beginning
of the Torah?
Doesn't it say Arofel? Yes. Another connection.
Moshe
Nigash Elo Arofel.
More tangible
than just thick darkness.
I remember learning in school. Thick darkness.
Yeah.
It's probably, and again, in metaphysical terms.
I think in the Greek it is
Okay, I haven't seen anyone translate this one as fog, but I've seen the translation as darkness or thick darkness. Yeah.
It's coming together, it's a question of thick darkness and bending heavens. These are two associations of we can't see Hashem, and the understanding we have is you can blot it out. Even more, that means that maybe that's the reference to thick darkness.
Yeah. Okay, the Radak goes along with this as well, goes along with Rashi's second shot, that the word Vayerad is all about flattening or beating down. And the expression in the Radak is Shedorochom, I think I've got this correct, Shedorochom ba'apo, he trod on them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu trod on Mitzrayim ba'apo in his burning anger, in his anger. So it's flattening Egypt, it's all about destroying Egypt. The Ibn Ezra, like the last prophet, the Ibn Ezra learns totally differently. It's David being mispalel, he's davening for future help. Don't quite understand that. The expression in the Ibn Ezra, I don't really understand it, because it goes against the simple translation of the pasuk, which is all in the past tense. Vayet Shamayim Vayet Rad. He bent the heavens and he flattened or he descended. Farofa Tachas Raglov. But the words in the Ibn Ezra are Sheteirid Hagazira Al Ha'ovim. The decree should come down against the enemies. Like an expression for the future, in hope in the future. The Targum, very interesting piece of Targum here. The Targum translates this pasuk: "Va'arichin Shemaya, he bent the heavens; Vayerad, and he descended." Says the Targum translation of Vayerad: "The Iskele Yakore, and his glory was revealed." Totally different type of translation. Vayerad simply means he descended.
Yeah.
But the Targum says, no, his glory was revealed. And I found it right at the end of Parshas Yisro, where the Prophet says at the end of Yisro, you'll find it in...
Where he gets that expression from?
glory was revealed.
Yeah. I tell you exactly where he gets it from. Comes out straight out of Parshas Yisro, chapter Yud Tes Pasuk Kaf, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. We're going to be learning about this pasuk. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai al Rosh Ahar. And Hashem came down on Har Sinai. Says the Targum, Ve'iskeli Hashem. Hashem was revealed. Hashem revealed himself al Tura de Sinai, on Har Sinai. So the word Vayered there, the Targum doesn't translate it as he came down. I think the word, Targum's word for coming down would be unachas. He came down. But it doesn't say unachas. It says iskeli Hashem. Hashem revealed himself. It's more than just coming down. It's revealing himself, revealing his glory on earth. And that's what we have in our Targum as well, where Vayerad is translated as v'iskele yekore. His glory is revealed. That's how the Targum knows it. The Tosfos Rid says something on our pasuk, and I'll give the quote. Ka adam, that David is speaking here. Ka adam shemisra'im al chaveri, like a person who's complaining. I think it means complaining to his friend. The omer lo, and he says to him, you know what? I've been in terrible trouble, but habure yorad ba'aretz, the Creator came down on earth for ra'ah el boni, and he saw my problems. So maybe complaining is probably the wrong word. It's a person like telling over a story to someone else. You know what? Hashem came down on earth and saw my problems and helped me out. And that's what we have here. Vayet Shalayim Vayerat. Hashem descended onto earth. That's how Tosfos really explains it. Now, let's get this one here. A few midrashim here from the this lovely red sefer collection of midrashim given to me by Rabbi Sol Moshe Greenfeld. Here we are. I'll put that here. This is like a collection of midrashim here. One minute. So the first thing to note is, very strange piece, very strange midrash here. The midrash says, I'll read this out. This actually goes back. I'm going back a pasuk. I wrote it on the wrong page. Let me just go back for a moment to pasuk test. Ala oshan ba'apo. Smoke went up in his nostrils. So what's this about? Says there's a medrash. Kiven shechotu ubi mei Micha. When Klal Yisrael sinned in the days of Micha. Now Micha was this man who introduced a pestel. He introduced some kind of idol, and it's recorded in Sefer Shoftim, chapter Yud Zayin. Pestel Micha. And it had a disastrous ending, and people worshipped it, and he set up a whole temple around this pestle. What happened was, the Mezra says,
did you do it deliberately or not?
I saw.
He was Jewish. Yeah.
Oh yes, Jewish man.
Yes,
came from the tribe of Don. I think so. No, different Micha, completely different Micha. Thank you for confirming that, for clarifying that. Yeah, completely different person. This Micha had he introduced a Pesel. His whole background is very interesting. His background, as Medrashim speak about, when Moshe was in Mitzrayim and he saw the Mitzrayim taking a baby and putting babies into the walls and killing the babies, using them as human cement. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu cried, and Moshe Rabbeinu cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how on earth can you let this happen? Mm-hmm. And Hashem said, this is my cheshbon, you leave it to me. But if you really want to have Rachmanus, so there's a baby, rescue the baby, and you'll see it will have a bad ending. And he rescued the baby, Moshe rescued that baby, and that baby turned out to be this man, Micha, who introduced this pestel, this form of Avodah Zarah.
He was the same one who found the gold plates which he threw into the fire, and out came the eagle.
Was that the same person?
The same person.
Ah, okay. No, I didn't know that.
This was the cause of the crested eagle.
I thought Aaron did that.
Yes, but Aaron. But then he found the plates.
Aaron put the gold together, but the piece of paper that Moshe had written to cause Yosef's Oren to rise out of the Nile, he had that piece of paper, Elisha, and Micha, who put that.
I don't know what material was.
Probably not paper, Yeah, and Michal found it and put that into the gold mixture, which caused the eagle to rise out. Yeah. Anyway, so Michal's whole had quite a checkered background. But let me read you this very strange piece of Medrash. Kimin Shechotu b'mei Michal, when Klal Yisrael were sinning at the time in Michal, and they were worshipping this pesel, this image that he had, they would offer up incense to the image of Micha, v'haya he'oshon shel shilo olemin zavachim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the same time as the people were in Micha's temple offering up incense to Micha's idol, and smoke was arising from that incense, at the same time, simultaneously, in Shiloh, they were offering up Karbonus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Within sight of each other. The Gemara in Avodah Zorah, I wrote it down the reference, the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, no, not Avodah Zorah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, says that the temple of Micha and the Mishkan in Shiloh were simply 3 mil away from each other. It's in Sanhedrin, Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, and it's 6 lines up from the bottom, where Tanya Rav Nosson Omer, Migorov Leshilo, Gorov was the place where Micha had his temple. From Gorov to Shiloh was Gimel Milim, was 3 mil. V'haya Oshon, V'haya Ashan Hamarocha, V'ashan Pesel Micha, Misarvin Zebezeh. And the smoke would mix together. The smoke from coming out from the Karbonis in Shiloh, and the smoke from Micha's goings on in his temple, would mingle. The two smokes would mingle. At any rate, this medrash echoes that piece of Gemara. Kibbutz Chotu b'mei Micha, when they sinned at the time of Micha, b'mekashan esamu shem Micha, and they were offering up incense to Micha's image, v'ayu ha'elshon shel shilo ola min zavachim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the smoke would be rising from the Karbonis in the Mishkan, v'ashan salmo shel Micha ola mehar Ephraim mebeis Micha, and the smoke coming out from the goings on, the incense, or maybe Karbonis, from Micha's temple would come up. It was in Har Ephraim, in a place called Gorov from Har Ephraim. Umisarvim kachas, and the two smokes would mingle. Sheh ne'emar, as the Pasuk says, and quotes our Pasuk test, Allah Oshan ba'apo, smoke arose from his nostrils. Ve'esh mepev tochel, gecholim ba'aru mimenu. I don't quite understand how our Pasuk echoes that, but it says the smoke arising is a reference to the two smokes mingling together. At any rate, that was a quick flashback to Pasuk test, because I wrote it on the wrong page.
What's the significance in the two smokes
together? Must be, I don't know what it is, so there must be. Yeah, you learn it with Abishisha? Listen to, here's another message. Now we're coming on to, back to Pasuk Yud. Vayet Shamayim Vayerad, he bent the heavens and he descended. Vayerofal Techazak over darkness beneath his feet. Some more Medrashim. Rabbi Shimon Omar, Rabbi Shimon says, Beshata, this is from the Zohar, Beshata to Kudshavichu Ba'al Lehiskala or Batura de Sinai. At the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal himself on Har Sinai, so we're coming on to Har Sinai matters, yeah? Matan Torah. Kara Kudshavichu Lechol Pamalio Dele. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called together, he summoned his entire based in Shamala. Omalon, he said to them, Hashta Yisrael Ravyan, Klal Yisrael right now are a very young nation. They don't know my practices. They're too immature to appreciate, as a nation, they're too immature to appreciate how I operate. I want to reveal myself to them. If I reveal myself to them with power and with strength and with dread and with fear, they won't cope. Kaiser won't cope. I'll reveal myself to them with rachmanus, with mercy, and with that they will accept my practices. Minolon, how do we know all this? Because the Pasuk says, Vayet Shamayim Vayerad. He bent down the heavens and he came down. I think it's meant to represent, it's a climb down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't come to us at Sinai with full force, all guns blazing. Yeah, he did it with rachmanus. In order that Klal Yisrael should get used to, in their young, immature nation, they should get used to HaKadosh Baruch Hu gradually in their own time.
It's interesting, the Greek word manners. I remember. Oh, how interesting. Nimus,
manners, even a phonetic connection there. Oh, thank you. Oh. Good. Let's come on to another medrash. Here's a medrash from the Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael in Parshas Yisro. Oh, and this is... I'll come on to that another time. Let's go on to... Here's a piece of Yalkut Shimoni, rather. A piece of Yalkut Shimoni in Yisro, and it's letter number Resh Pei Dalet in Yisro. Again, on our part of Vayit Shemayim, Vayit Rad, Vayrafel, Techot, Raglov. Yerido Hashishis. The Yalkut Shimoni brings a list of 10 occasions, I think it's 10, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu descended from Shemayim onto earth. And this one, and now we're up to number 6. There's a reference to number 6. Sheyorad l'Sinai, b'shisho b'sivin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to Har Sinai on the 6th of Sivan, v'nigle alov, and he revealed himself there, on Har Sinai. U'mimkomu nistash Har Sinai. Now what actually happened to Har Sinai? Har Sinai was uprooted from its place, v'niftuchu hashamayim, the heavens opened, v'nichnas rosh ha'har b'soch hashamayim, and Har Sinai ascended into heaven. V'arafel mechaseh tahar, and the thick darkness covered the mount of Har Sinai. V'akadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev al kis Hashem sat on his throne, v'raglov omdos al arafel, with his feet in the darkness. Shenemar, Vayet Shamayim, Vayet Rad, Varafel Tachas Raglov. As you were saying, Louis, this pasuk is reference to Matan Torah Har Sinai. Not so much that Hashem came down, that is indeed one medrash that Hashem came down, but what we've got here is a different medrash whereby he brought the mountain up. He uprooted Har Sinai and took it up into Shamayim, and with Hashem sitting on his royal throne in Shamayim, with his feet in the darkness, the darkness covering Har Sinai. Please don't ask me to explain such a medrash. I have not a clue what it means. But that
means like heaven and earth meeting together.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. But it does. But you do find
Sinai goes up into heaven.
Yeah, it's correct.
Is it a joining of the physical and the spiritual?
Yeah.
Hashem reveals himself.
The mountain Torah is about to happen.
Sure, it makes sense. Yeah, indeed.
The thing can't exist within the framework of its source. Mm. It'd be nullified. Mm. So what would happen?
Yeah, but we have these conflicting midrashim where that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down onto Har Sinai, or was HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing Har Sinai up into Shamayim? Whichever you look at it, as you say, it's a meeting, an interface between heaven and earth.
Exactly.
The Yalkut Memnois on our pasuk says that this. He brings a number. He says the pasuk is either speaking about personal salvation for David or salvation for the whole of Klal Yisrael, which we've seen that before in among various mefarshim. And he gives an example. He says it could be, for example, Kriyas Yam Suf. He says that, and I don't quite understand how our pasuk would connect to Kriyas Yam Suf. He says, like Kriyas Yam Suf, which is a national salvation for the whole nation, so to our pasuk here, Vayit Shemayim Vayirad, Varafel Tachzor, God being a reference to Kriyas Yam Suf. I don't quite understand how that works.
A communal thing, everybody together, everybody comes out.
Yeah, absolutely.
The connection.
Yeah, but I don't see how he gets it from the pasuk.
Oh.
I don't see any words in our pasuk which refer to Kriyas Yam Suf. But he does mention that. A second possibility, he says, is it could refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing the Dor HaFloga. The Dor HaFloga, the nation that built the Tower of Bavel, which is... No, let me get the pasuk here.
Oh. Bereishis.
Absolutely Bereishis. Here you are. It's in Bereishis chapter Yud Aleph, between Pesukim Hay and Zayin, actually starting at Pasuk Hay there, so Parashat Noach, chapter Yadalaf, Pasuk Hay, Vayered Hashem Liros. Again, it's Hashem descending to see what was going on with this tower that the Dor HaFloga were building. Liros Hesoe, Vayered Hashem Liros Hesoe, Hashem came down to see the town, the Samigdala and the tower, Hashem Bonu B'nei HaAdam, that the people had built. And then just two Pesukim later, Hashem says, Hova Nirdar, Hashem speaking to the Malachim, come, let's go down to Novlashom Sefasom and let's mix up their language. Let's confuse their languages. So again, it's an expression of Hashem saying, let's go down. So that ties in with our pasuk, which gives us the word Vayerad. Yeah? That's Vayet Shemaim Vayerad, Hashem descended. So the Alkem Emes says, our pasuk Vayet Shemaim Vayerad is referenced to Hashem descending onto earth to see the Migdol, the tower built by the Dor HaFlogah, and then to confuse them. It's got Vayered. Vayered Hashem Liros. Yes.
Yeah. With Sodom.
Absolutely.
And you learn from that to judge, you must have Adim, you must go and see and witness what's going on.
I don't see.
So Hashem intended.
Yeah.
To be an aid with his
Malachi,
to judge what, to see firsthand what was going on.
To see what's going on. See them building the tower itself.
Yeah, he wanted to.
Before he punishes.
So let's
see
with my own eyes.
So
listen to us.
Yeah, listen to us. And Gemara, and all of a sudden Gemara, we came down, and the Malachim came with him. Well, they departed, so to witness, Adim.
That's why the Adim have to see the act, whatever it
that's
is.
That's it. Oh, now let's just a couple of small things still. The Sephorno says on our pasuk, Vayet Shamayim Vayirad, again it's a reference to the destruction of Mitzrayim, that's how the Sephorno learns it. And he says, Vayet Shamayim, he twisted the heaven. He turned heaven around, i.e., HaKadosh Baruch Hu distorted the course of nature. With the Nisim in Mitzrayim, the Esamakas in Mitzrayim was all about twisting nature. Vayet Shamayim, he twisted the heavens to do all the Osos and the Mosim. Va'arofel Tachas Raglov, and he says that Tachas Raglov, what is underneath a person's feet is the land, is the earth, and Hashem changed the earth as well in order to perform the Nisim. That's how the Sephorno learns. It's a reference to wiping out Mitzrayim at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He had to change or distort the forces of nature in order to perform the Makkos in Mitzrayim. That's how the Sephorno learns. Now, one very interesting thing on this. We have, there's a Medrash, and I've seen this discussed at length in a Sefer Shai HaMelech, which I've got on computer thanks to my good friend David Dombrowski. Contradictions in Pesukim. We've got a number of Pesukim which seem to contradict each other. Have a look. We've got Parashas Yisro, chapter Yud Tes Pasuk Kaf. Let me show you this one. Chapter Yud Tes Pasuk Kaf in Yisro says, okay, Vayered Hashem on Har Sinai. Hashem descended upon Har Sinai. El Rosh Ahar. So where was HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Matan Torah? He was Al Har Sinai. He was on top of Har Sinai. That's one pasuk. Now that conflicts with the pasuk in Devarim, chapter Dalet, pasuk Lamed Vav. Let me get this one. Devarim, Dalet, 1 minute. Apostle in Parshas Vayeshanan, chapter Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Vav, where the Pasuk says, Min Hashamayim Hishmiacha Es Kololi Yasreka. From heaven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made you hear his voice, Liyasreka, to tell you off, or to instruct you, if you like. Yeah? So where, according to that Pasuk, where was HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Matan Torah? He was in heaven, in Shamayim. So the Medrashim say, you've got here Shnei Chesuvim HaMachachishim Zeh. You've got two Pesukim which contradict each other. The Pesuk in Yisro, chapter Yud Tes Pesuk Kaf says, Vayeret Hashem al HaSinai, who's on HaSinai. And the Pesuk in Vayeshanan, chapter Dalet, Pesuk Lamed Vav says, Min HaShamayim Hishmiacha Es Kolo. He was in heaven when he gave us the Torah. So where was he? You've got, it's a contradiction between the two Pesukim. Where was he? It's a contradiction.
Both places. Okay. But
Hashem can't be confined to one place or another.
Of course. Yes, but it gives two different places.
He's
simultaneously.
Yeah.
That could be the solution. Oh, I'll give you the solution. The solution is What do we say? V'cheshni chusivim ha-machachishim zeh-zeh ad she-yovar kosra ha-shlishi v'yachri ha-benem. So we need to look for a third posuk. Find a third posuk to resolve the problem. And the third posuk is in Yisro, it's chapter Kaf, posuk Yud-Tes, where the posuk says, V'yem Hashem el Moshe, right at the end of Yisro, Hashem said to Moshe, Kosem el b'nisal, so you shall say to b'nisal, Atem Yisim, you saw, ki, that, Min ha-shamayim dibarti emochem. I spoke with you from heaven. That's Yavash Kasashishi V'yachri and V'yachri Abinim. The third person comes along and it casts the final vote. What's the word? Casting the casting vote. That's the word. Thank you. Yeah. The final casting the vote. Yeah.
The decrees from heaven.
Yeah.
So he's there. Where is he? Him. So he's on Har Sinai. His voice reaches us.
Yeah, the voice is from heaven reaches us.
So manifestation comes in the voice of who here.
Yeah.
We think humans can hear. But even though they couldn't stand. So they died and they got revived again.
This is a medrash. This medrash of two psukim that seems to contradict each other, and the third one should resolve the problems, is a medrash
book. When Hashem spoke from heaven, the voice came down to earth. What's our sin
like?
Isn't
that like that?
We're combining the two.
There's no contradiction that way. Yeah, we resolve the contradiction with the third posse.
The third posse. Yeah.
So when else have mankind heard the voice of Hashem?
Never.
So this is how it happened. Oh. And this is why the people couldn't take it. They died and they had to be revived, because a human, something can't, is nullified in the presence of its creator. You can't stand. It's like the light from the sun. The light from the sun is within the sun. Is part of the sun.
Yeah.
It's only on earth where it's manifest that you think it's something of itself. It's not. The sun went out. There would have been no light.
Yeah.
So a thing cannot survive within its source.
This is a medrash about the two psukim that contradict each other about Har Sinai and the resolution of the contradiction with the third posuk is a medrash coming from Rabbi Akiva. And it's quoted by Rashi in Parshas Yisro. It's quoted by Rashi in chapter Kaf, Pasuk Yud Tes. And Rashi finishes off, as indeed says Rabbi Akiva in the Medrash, V'chein hu omer. And so it says, so the final resolution of this contradiction is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really in Shamayim. Yeah? From that Pasuk. That he was really in Shamayim. Kimin Hashamayim Dibayti Machem. Yeah, but it's in Yisro, chapter Kaf, Pasuk Yud Tes. And on that Pasuk, Rashi says, the final words in that Rashi are, V'cheinu Omer, and so it says, a Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud, a Pasuk, Vayet Shamayim Vayevad. He bent the heavens and he came down. He came down. So I don't fully understand, because that quotation seems to, from our posuk seems to say he was not in Shamayim, but he really was on Har Sinai. Whereas in reality, the resolution from Rabbi Akiva is that he was in Shamayim. So I don't fully understand that. But at any rate, that Rashi quotes our posuk here.
English word bend. If you're using the word English bend, we have an expression in English, bending the rules. Bending the way, it's not really bending in a physical sense. You're making concessions.
It's also bend the ear.
It's not in the physical sense. So bending the heaven.
Good. All right.